Studios. It's Ray Richardson on WLOB 100.5 FM.
Mr. Washington, can you quickly tell me what airspace requires an ADS-B transponder?
Not sure I can answer that question right now.
That's okay. We'll just keep going. So that's a pretty important part. So what are the six types of special use airspace that protect this national security that appear on FAA charts?
Sorry, Senator, I cannot answer that question.
Okay, so what are the operational limitations of a pilot flying under basic med?
Senator, I'm not a pilot, so...
But obviously you'd oversee the Federal Aviation Administration, so any idea what those restrictions are under basic med?
So I'm playing this because this was who Joe Biden nominated to be the head of the FAA for the country. So far, you've heard him ask two important questions of which he had no idea what the answers would be because he had no idea the context of the questions.
Quickly.
Well, some of the restrictions, I think, would be high blood pressure. Some of them would be...
It's more like how many passengers per airplane, how many pounds in different categories, and what altitude you can fly under. So, and then amount of knots. It's under 250 knots. So okay. It's not having anything to do with blood pressure. So can you tell me what causes an aircraft to spin or to stall?
Again, Senator, I'm not a pilot.
Let's keep going. What are the three aircraft certifications the FAA requires as part of the manufacturing process? Quickly, please. Three aircraft certifications.
What I would say to that is that one of my first priorities would be to fully implement that Certification Act and report.
You know the three types, Mr. Washington? The three types? Okay. Yeah, that's type certificate, production certificate, and airworthiness certificate. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Let's just keep going, see if we can get lucky here. So can you tell me what the minimum separation distance is for landing and departing airliners during the daytime, Mr. Washington?
I don't want to guess on that, Senator.
Are you familiar with the difference between Part 107 and Part 44809 when it comes to unmanned aerial standards? Unmanned, like drones, are you familiar with the difference?
Yes, yes.
Okay, you know the difference between those two, Part 44?
It is 707, so that was a yet another hearing on a nominee under DEI, and he was a DEI hire. He had no knowledge whatsoever of the FAA, yet he was going to head the FAA. He didn't even know the most basic things like distance between planes when they're taking off and landing. There you go. Joe Bruno, D.D. Richardson in the house.
You would have thought somebody up for a nomination and approval would at least do some research and have some answers.
Or be prepped. Have some homework done.
Yeah.
You would think they would prep them.
Right. Listening to that, you sit there and you go, did we just hire people for no reason?
Yes.
Pete Buttigieg came out yesterday because he was so good at his job.
Right.
Saying this is despicable. Trump should not be talking about this. He should be leading, not lying. Pete Buttigieg, a guy who couldn't even figure out where East Palestine, Ohio was for what, like a year. Those people are still hurt. They're still harmed. Their water is still messed up. All you have to do is care about it to know these things. But they want to come out and try to defend things. Pete Buttigieg for transportation was also a DEI hire because he had no knowledge of it, but he was a gay guy who spoke well. Now, if they had put Pete Buttigieg at Veterans Affairs, he wouldn't have been a DEI hire because he is actually a veteran who speaks five languages. But he knew nothing about transportation. When he was mayor of South Bend, Indiana, he was known as Pothole Pete because the transportation in South Bend, Indiana was so bad. But again, this is what we do here. And then as we're really waking up to it as a nation, they're trying to turn us into something. These people are incompetent boobs. I wouldn't allow them, any of them, to have ever looked after my children when they were young, when they needed oversight, but an adult. They can't care for my country. How could they care for my children?
I mean, what is what you remember about Pete Buttigieg? His comment that roads that went through black neighborhoods are racist. That was his, what are you talking about? Are black neighborhoods not supposed to have roads in them? Sometimes neighborhoods are built around the roads, access. I mean, He was a consultant at McKinsey. That means, you know what a consultant is? Is someone who has no knowledge of anything, but is trying to tell you what to do.
Right.
That's a consultant.
And again, if they had put him at Veterans Affairs, where he belonged, he was a veteran. He had gone into, I think he was deployed. He speaks five languages. He's a very smart man. There was a book that he actually wanted to read in the original language, so he learned the language so he could read the book. This is a guy who's curious.
Yeah.
But he was incompetent at transportation because that wasn't his bailiwick. So what did Joe Biden do? Well, he's gay. We need a prominent gay guy who can speak well, so we'll put him at transportation, which is one of the prominent positions, so he can be out in front of the public, instead of putting him at Veterans Affairs, where he might actually have been able to do something.
Well,
it's just
bizarre. It is.
And you just heard Mr. Washington, who was Joe Biden's nominee to head up the FAA, he could not answer a single question. His answer was, well, I'm not a pilot. Well, okay, fine, you're not a pilot. Neither am I. But I could have read the manual and been able to at least answer some questions so I didn't look like an ignorant boob in front of the country.
Right.
710, Mike Shepard, the political editor for the Bangor Daily News, is with us. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
How are you?
How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm still waiting for my discount on the political insider thing. I haven't seen it yet.
I don't have the coupons drafted up yet.
Okay. When you do, will you send me one?
But since he's had to wait, he needs it laser engraved with gold ink.
Yeah.
That's right. He's a very flamboyant guy.
Well, he's also a very prominent man, and he deserves to be treated.
I've seen his golf shirts, or at least heard you describe them on the air.
He's dressed very demurely, Joe. No offense, but very demurely. He has on a light blue Oxford and a gray sweater.
Well, I'm doing political brew today.
You are. Thank you, by the way, for doing that.
My pleasure.
We are still out of heat, and we don't know what's going to happen. So with it getting as cold as it is on Saturday and Sunday, I decided I had to stay around and try to figure out options if it doesn't.
Who's the adversary today, Jim?
Well, it was supposed to be B.J. McCollister, but he backed out, so I have no idea. So I'm going in there blind, Mike. I don't know
really
what.
They're really down to their backups today.
Maybe I'll have it all to myself.
There you go.
Oh, that would be fun. Joe Bruno Unleashed. Do you ever watch Political Brew, Mike?
I do sometimes, yeah.
It's a fun thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, I enjoy it. I like going on and you know, the thing I like about it is it's respectful.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean I enjoy everybody I you know, compete against, so to speak. We all get along, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, the format. People really watch it, too. I mean, you hear about it a lot.
Well, I could tell you, Mike, I go out to a restaurant or something, and people come up to me and talk to me about it. And I'm like, wow.
That's right.
You know? So it's kind of nice, and I'm honored to be part of that team now.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, New Center Maine has been number one in the state of Maine for, what, since 1986?
Yeah.
So, and this is part of their morning report on Sunday, and yeah, so, you know, it's we do hear a lot about it. It's great, and I enjoy it. And Donovan Litch, the new moderator, the new permanent moderator, he's a really bright guy, and he's very, very curious, and I like that about him.
Yep. Yeah, he's right. He almost shares an office with us down in the State House Bureau. He's right next to us in the hallway there. And
down in the basement, Mike? Down in the basement in the Capitol building? Yeah, you're still down there.
We have the windowless office.
have you spent any time with him at all, Mike?
I've gotten to know him a little bit this session, and I do like that they're kind of dedicating a reporter there, because not many people do that anymore.
Right,
you know?
Right.
It allows them to dig in a little bit, and because sometimes, you know, TV reporters just kind of are forced to parachute in because of the way the business works.
Right.
And, you know, and that doesn't help anyone, right?
Right.
So I'm glad they're, you know, giving him some exposure, which is good.
Yeah. So, Mike, the speech the other night. You guys are going to delve into it and rip it apart for all the lies that were in there?
I mean, you know, I think the...
That's why we love him, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we love him.
Always giving me the easy question. Yeah, you know, I mean, I think the speech was what we expected to hear from her, right? We've heard her defend that budget. You know, there was a little news in there, you know, going after the red flag law. But, you know, I think this was what we expected going in. She's made her case for that budget. I think legislators of both parties have different reasons to be upset with that thing. And we'll see what happens. She usually gets her way, right? And, you know, no matter what you think of it, she usually is standing somewhere in between these parties on spending, and we'll see how that shakes out. But
I don't think
it's on people to give alternatives to this, right?
I think she took too many digs at Republicans and then said, oh, and we're willing to work with you. You have no intention of willing to work with Republicans. So why even say it? I mean, that's just a blatant lie.
This is a majority budget.
You can see it coming.
Well, and that's become the norm, right?
Right, which is awful.
It's kind of becoming my assumption when these things start, and they can disprove it along the way if they want. But there's been the times where they pass, you know, a so-called basic budget, right, over with a simple majority, and then they go back and try to do something, you know, later. And it's just, you know, that's not the process, right, that we were used to before that. So, you know, that's kind of my assumption here. I haven't heard anything to that effect. People are still saying they want to work with everybody, but they that's what you hear in January, right? And not necessarily what you hear later on into the spring.
Wait until probably about the middle of March.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll say, oh, yeah, we couldn't agree with anyone.
Yeah,
so
they'll
we're
say
going
the Republicans won't work with them. And again, if any Republican votes for this, they should resign from the Republican Party. Yeah. They want to stay there and be one of the gaggle of whatever, fine. But these taxes are egregious. We're already the second highest tax state in the country. This may push us to first. I'm not positive yet. We'd have to see the impact of them. Mike, I got to be honest. I did not have a chance to check this morning. Did you guys write a story on the proficiency of fourth graders in math and reading in the state of Maine?
Yeah, we had a story on it on the site yesterday. Yeah.
So, as Governor Mills, you know, talks about funding education at 55% at the state level, and as we have also seen at the same time, school spending rise dramatically, driving up property taxes all over the state to the point where some of our seniors can no longer afford to live in their home. How do they answer that? Where this is not some Ray Richardson random right wing shot at them. This is a report that comes out annually, and it demonstrates that fourth graders in reading and math had the biggest drop, and the lowest comprehension of any fourth graders in the country in those arenas. How do they justify all of this spending when they've been pouring hundreds of millions of dollars more into education, and the results have been dismal?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's going to be a big question here when we dig into this budget. And this was bad. I mean, this was, you know, the scores across the country, it's been a national trend, right? The scores across the country were bad. The kids have not recovered, right, from the pandemic. Maine saw bigger drops, though. I mean, we had the lowest scores in 40 years across, and 30 years across a few categories. It's straight up bad. And we had dismal scores in 2022 coming out of the pandemic, and they're worse now. They're below the national average, you know, when you look kind of across all the categories. So we got major issues. I think the pandemic is part of that, but the whole country's dealing with that.
Well, the whole
country,
though.
We're still behind the curve.
I mean, this is a ranking system, though. This isn't just Maine did this. This is a ranking system, and every state in the country dealt with a pandemic. Some dealt with it differently than Maine did. Janet Mills, basically, in my mind, wrecked this state, killed businesses, harmed people, and acted like a tyrant. King George III would have been proud of her. The 2024 report card says just 33% of Maine fourth graders are proficient in math, one of the lowest proficiency levels in the nation. Compared to the rest of the country, those same students were also below the average for reading, with only 26% deemed proficient. We're told by the left, and I've been told personally, repeatedly in school board meetings and on this station, that I don't care about education because I've complained about the money poured into it. How do they justify all of this money when their results are literally in the toilet or maybe have already been flushed?
I mean, we're going to have to ask them, right? I mean, I'm not the one to answer that
question. No. But you're around the state house. I'm wondering what they're hearing.
Yeah.
I mean, are they just acting like Janet does on the Child Protective Services? Oh, well, if I don't say anything, this isn't happening. If they don't say anything, this isn't happening. I mean, the Press Herald, which has become like the Pravda, it must have killed them to have the following headline: Maine fourth graders' math and reading skills are among the lowest in the country because they're a shill for Janet Mills. I was shocked they had that headline. So are they going to try to act like this didn't happen and this is just right-wing nonsense that we don't like children and we don't like education, even though they are the ones that did not provide proper services to children with special needs, have not protected children who are in monstrous families, but have reunified them because there's a 40% bonus for doing so? I mean, at what point do they have to answer? Or is she just going to be silent like she is on Child Protective Services?
No, I mean, they have to answer these questions, right? This is a standard report that measures proficiency, and there's no end-all be-all of, you know, education measures, but this is as close to one as you get on that subject, right? Everybody uses it. We've used it for decades. We can compare each other, and, you know, we can see where we stand. Now, scores across the country are low. These differences between states are quite small, but it's clear that we've lost ground, right?
And, well, hang on. Yeah, I know that's what she's going to say. Okay, fine. We all went through the pandemic, and the education crowd harmed children by their behavior. They acted like I am so disgusted with the unions in this country. But the rest of the country went through it, and we're at the bottom. So why are we the worst?
Yeah, I mean, and I don't know if there's I don't know that there's a simple answer to that, Ray. I don't know. Well, go ahead, Joe.
Mike, who's going to be held accountable for pouring all this money into education and the results are at the bottom? More than any time in Maine's history, we're spending billions of dollars on education and the return on it is so bad. So who's held accountable?
Well, that's always an interesting question with schools, right? I mean, we are, you know, we're throwing in more state money. We're also throwing in a lot more local money, especially depending on where you live.
We're the number one property tax burden in the country right now.
Right, and that's the main driver. I mean, property taxes from 2012, I believe, to 2022, we did a story on this somewhat recently, have gone up from the total property taxes across the state have gone up from $2 billion to $3
billion. Right.
Right, so we're almost running, you know, another major budget, you know, just off the property tax alone.
Right.
So here we are, right, and the needs in education have certainly gotten a lot more complex, right, over the last 20 years. I think that's part of it. But, you know, I think you also have, you know, you also have to referee this money town by town and, you know, of course, across the state budget as well. So education has always been tough, Joe, because there is no one person always to hold accountable, right? Towns make one decision, right? School districts make another. The state makes another. You know, and that's why the state has had so much trouble, right? You know, with school consolidation right back in 2009 or, right. You know, Governor LePage's efforts, right? It's always the towns and the school districts always win, right? Because they're the closest to the people.
Well,
and
what,
the state always has trouble altering that.
When you look at the low-receiving school districts or towns like Falmouth, Cumberland, Yarmouth.
Right, rich towns.
Rich towns have some of the highest test scores, so and they get the least amount of money from the state. So
well,
there's a correlation somewhere, right? If a town is rich, so-called rich, those people are going to do better than the poor towns who are getting, in some cases, 80-90% of all education dollars from the state.
Well, that's absolutely right, and you wouldn't want the rich towns to get more money from the state,
right?
Necessarily,
no.
And that kind of shows that money, you know,
doesn't do anything, right?
Well, I mean, the towns are raising much more money that's thrown to their school districts, and their school districts are better. Now, there's a correlation across all different things, right? You know, there's different clientele, right, in all these school districts, and you know, I think that. It's hard to draw lessons across all that because, you know, there's these towns that we're serving are just so much different than
The other thing you're never going to hear, Mike, is that the immigrant population has lowered the test scores in the state of Maine. When you have kids who come in and speak their native language, even at home, when they take a test in English proficiency or mathematics, they've never had the background to get them to a point where they can do well on those tests. So that is going to have a significant impact on test scores in the entire state. Now, is anybody going to say that? No, because they're afraid of saying just that. because then they will be considered racist if you say those things.
But here's the thing, Joe. You're absolutely right in what you just said. But every state in the country, which has become a border state, has had to deal with this.
Right.
And yet somehow we're at the bottom. Mike, I would never tell you what to do. You know that. We have great talks. But I would love to see, you know, a multi-part series on Maine's dramatic fall in education from 1992, when we were leading the country in math and science, to where we are today. And why is that? There is a catalyst here. I think I know what it is, but I, you know, I'm not a reporter. I'm an opinion guy. I would love for you guys to do that so the people of Maine can understand what's happened. This is a dramatic fall in 33 years.
Yeah, I mean, and it's the numbers are clear, right? We've got a problem, and everyone has a problem, but our problem's worse, right?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we recognize the pandemic. It was difficult. The teachers' union was part of the problem. You had Randy Weingarten. Now she lies to everybody. I mean, thank God I keep all the videos. She was saying, we're going to protect teachers. We're keeping them out of school. Now she's saying she never played a role in any of that. They just lie depending on, you know, where they stand. But Maine's worse. You know, everybody had a problem. But we're at the bottom. Why are we at the bottom? It didn't used to be that way in this state. Why are we at the bottom now?
Yeah, I can't answer that, and I don't.
No,
think
no, no. But
answer.
Maybe
I don't think the answer is necessarily easy. But
maybe
but
looking at a 30-year trend where we've gone from number one in math and science to the bottom of the barrel here. You know, the report came out 2 years ago that sixth graders had the lowest reading comprehension in all of Maine recorded history. That was 2 years ago. Our trends aren't getting better here. And if fourth graders were in the same boat that sixth graders were 2 years ago, that means the foundation upon which they built is very rickety.
No, we're losing ground. And you know, I always thought, and I think the studies have borne this out, that the effects on young children during the pandemic, right, were some of the most worrying.
Sure. Well, if you're keeping your kids at home and telling them to just sit there and look at a computer screen and play games all day, I mean, that's pretty bad. But I think if you look at the correlation of how much money are we spending per child now, let's not forget, our school-age population has dropped dramatically. And yet, we're giving much more money to the schools. So on a per-pupil basis, what we're spending in education is much higher from really bad results. And in the business, you'd be out of business by now.
Right.
Well, I think, you know, I graduated from a small school here, Halldale. 90 kids were in my class. Now they're graduating, you know, between 40 and 50 kids.
Yeah.
A lot of the time now. So,
right.
Yeah, our peak enrollment in 1977 was 247,000 children in the public school system. Today, it's just under 170. I mean, these are trend lines that are very bad for Maine. First of all, that trend line will lead to demographic winter in this state at some point. We will not have people here in the state who can work and accomplish things because our population will be so old. We're already the 65-plus population in the state of Maine. The percentage of population, 20.1%, is the highest in the country, even more so than Florida, which is, when you think about that, that's crazy. So we've got trend lines here that are very, very devastating for Maine's future. And all we hear is how great people are doing. I just don't understand it. I don't want to be negative. I love public education. I grew up down south. I saw particularly young black guys who I went to school with and played ball with come from very difficult circumstances, got a good education, went to college, and now they've done dramatic things with their lives in a very positive way. And I believe in public education. I just don't believe in what Maine's doing.
Yeah, I think, I mean, it's really important to dig into, and it's a really, I mean, we're going to need to, our economy need, you know, we need to figure this out for the sake of our economy and you know, for everything else.
So don't worry, Mike.
You know, it's a big issue. Yeah.
The governor says the economy's fine. Just ask her.
Let me ask you that question. We got to go here, but let me ask you this question. She said 17,800 businesses have been created last year.
They're all consultant jobs, Mike.
Well,
don't worry about it.
I mean, it was a question like, under what data does she come out and make such a bold statement that's so provably and patently untrue?
Well, I haven't checked that assertion yet. I don't know where that data comes from.
But you did hear her make it, though, right?
I do remember that.
Yeah, she was praising Heather Johnson for the job she's done, 17,800 businesses last year. Hey, we got to go, my friend. It is always great to have you on. Thank you.
I'll see you later, guys.
Say, Mike.
729. At Community Pharmacy, we are a contracted provider with most insurance plans. We have all your vaccines, and you can order any drug or vaccine you need. Why not make Community Pharmacy your drugstore? Go to communityrx.com to find out more.
Losing ground. Its earnings top forecasts. Its outlook for the year, though, is weaker than Wall Street was expecting. Shell is reporting weaker earnings. The oil company's been dealing with weak oil prices and low